What's News? I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. We'll talk with Journal London reporter Jason Douglas about Theresa May's no-confidence win in the UK. Also, Wall Street Journal Washington reporter Sharon Nunn tells us the top chief financial officers are forecasting a recession next year. Some brief headlines. Mark Meadows, Republican representative from North Carolina, has bowed out of the running to replace John Kelly as White House chief of staff. A source says President Trump wanted Meadows to stay in the House. The Senate Wednesday voted to overturn a Treasury Department rule that lets politically active nonprofit groups provide the IRS with less information about their donors. But the Wall Street Journal says the measure stands little chance of becoming law. Now, let's talk with Wall Street Journal reporter Jason Douglas in London about Prime Minister Theresa May surviving a no-confidence vote by her Conservative Party. She's faced anger over the deal she made with European Union officials to leave the EU. Jason, Prime Minister Theresa May beat back a challenge to her leadership Wednesday. She survived a no-confidence vote by her Conservative Party. First of all, what was the vote tally?
Theresa May survived the confidence vote by a pretty slim margin. So 200 of her 317 lawmakers voted for her. And 117, so about a third of the party, about a third of her lawmakers voted against her, so said they had no confidence in her.
How many votes did her opponents need to trigger a party leadership election?
To trigger a leadership election, they would have needed 159, so just one vote over half of the parliamentary party.
I think I read somewhere that if there were at least 100 no votes, it would be bad news. Is it because it means Mrs. May's support is lukewarm at best?
Exactly. Anything over 100, around about a third of the parliamentary party, is pretty bad. It wounds her. It saps her authority a little bit. So, yes, this isn't the result that she was hoping for.
Right. I guess the grand question is, you know, what's next? What does her future hold? What does this mean for Brexit? Can she get the votes in Parliament to ratify whatever Brexit deal emerges?
The short answer to that is probably no. Her big problem is really that the British Parliament as a whole is completely split on what to do about Brexit. And her withdrawal plan that she's negotiated for the past couple of years with the European Union doesn't really have much of a chance of getting through. If anything, tonight's vote just underscores how much opposition she will face within her own party, never mind the opposition she will face from opposition parties.
You've written that on Thursday she's set to travel to Brussels to continue the Brexit talks, I guess, with EU officials. Does this mean we could soon have a brand new version of a Brexit deal?
Probably not. She is going to Brussels probably more in hope than expectation. She is hoping to bring back some legal and political assurances, as she's described them, from Brussels that will help her persuade some of her rebel lawmakers to get behind her Brexit deal. But the EU has been pretty clear that they're not that interested. They feel that they've done the negotiation. They don't really want to reopen it. People like President Macron in France and President Merkel, Chancellor Merkel in Germany, have kind of moved on. So what she may come back with will probably be pretty cosmetic and unlikely to be enough to convince rebels that to get behind her Brexit deal.
Jason, the sticking points in this deal have been constant. What are they?
The big sticking point is over Northern Ireland. So Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, and it shares a land border with the Republic of Ireland, which is remaining an EU member as the EU leaves. This has thrown up just a big problem for Theresa May. She has many competing objectives in the sort of Brexit process and what she wants to get out of Brexit, and they've all sort of come to a head in this issue around the border. To put it simply, both the British and the Europeans are pretty keen to avoid a hard border on the island of Ireland. What that means is they don't want any customs checks, any physical infrastructure, any border checks or anything like that that would impede the flow of people and the flow of trade across the border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. They see this as one of the big wins of the peace process that ended the violence in Northern Ireland about 20 years ago. This is just horribly difficult to achieve when you also want to leave the European Union's big economic structures, its single market, which covers regulations, and its customs union, which sets tariffs and other sort of customs procedures. So these things are just irreconcilable. Mrs. May has come up with this backstop plan, which is kind of an insurance policy. She has said this would effectively, if activated, if the EU and the UK can't agree a new trade deal, then this backstop will come into effect, and that would basically keep the UK in the customs union of the European Union with very little power to leave by itself. This infuriates Brexiteers, those pro-Brexit MPs that are very keen to get to take back control, as their slogan was during the referendum campaign.
What's the mood like in Britain, Jason, as well as in the government, as well as in the media, in the Wall Street Journal offices in London? Was it tense?
We're all pretty fine in the Wall Street Journal offices. I think the mood in the country at large is that people are pretty sick of Brexit. This is a process that has dragged on for a couple of years now. It has got down into some really mind-numbing detail. There appears to be no end in sight. Politicians seem hopelessly divided. We're no closer to really figuring out where this will all end than we were a couple of years ago. And the widespread mood, I think, in Britain at large is that people are just pretty fed up with the whole process and either want it to be over and done with, or they maybe want to go back and rethink the decision they made a couple of years ago to leave the EU in the first place.
Wall Street Journal UK economics reporter Jason Douglas joining us from London. Thanks, Jason.
My pleasure.
Coming up, some top corporate executives are forecasting a recession in the U.S. sometime soon. Is a recession imminent? Not exactly, but a new survey of U.S. chief financial officers finds many think a recession will hit the nation's economy by the end of next year. Let's find out what worries corporate CFOs the most from Wall Street Journal economy reporter Sharon Nunn, who's in Washington. First of all, Sharon, right at the top, who did this survey?
Yeah, so this survey was performed by Duke University and the CFO Global Business Outlook.
And many in the poll think a recession will hit by the end of 2019. What percentage?
Almost half. I think about 49%. So not quite a majority, but certainly close.
That's too soon for some other economists. I guess most figure it's going to hit within the next 2 years.
Yes, yeah. So economists generally and Wall Street generally think that the U.S. economy will be in recession at least by 2021.
Yeah, something like 80%. What was the most cited concern in the survey?
So that was definitely the tight labor market, which, you know, seems ironic given the fact that most Americans would say a tight labor market is amazing. It causes their wages to rise. They feel more economically secure. But from the CFOs and business owners' perspective, it's getting harder to hire and retain, you know, quote unquote, qualified talent. So there are plenty of people out there looking for jobs, of course. But these business owners are struggling to find people who meet their standards, who have certain skill sets, like technical skill sets.
Weren't trade disputes another big concern?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, people argue that's actually contributing to market volatility, of course, that we've seen. But, you know, access to markets is a huge concern for a lot of these CFOs, and the prices that they may potentially have to pay for their raw input goods that may rise if tariffs on all kinds of foreign actors continues.
Were CFOs also concerned about a potential trade war between the U.S. and China?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was directly mentioned, but that's clearly where this all of this stems from. But it does appear that there could be some cooling in the tensions potentially on the horizon. China offered to reduce auto tariffs on U.S. made vehicles, so that's a show of goodwill on the Chinese part.
I noticed from the survey that interest rates were not one of the biggest concerns. As a matter of fact, it didn't even make the top 10.
Yeah, which is pretty ironic because we hear a lot of economists and, you know, Wall Street bigwigs talking about whether or not the Federal Reserve is making a mistake and raising rates so many times this year and how we need to slow the pace of rate increases next year. And the president himself, President Trump, has said that the Federal Reserve's recent monetary policy tightening is one of the biggest threats to the economy, too.
And I guess there was also an international component to this. International CFOs were also concerned about their own country's economies, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah. So almost all of the executives that were surveyed or chief financial officers surveyed in Africa think their countries will be in recession by the end of next year. And that's, again, not just African countries. 86% of CFOs in Canada think the same. And about 67% of executives in Europe think their countries will be in recession by the end of next year.
What about this in the wake of an economy that's, you know, still performing pretty well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the average American would be really surprised to read this. I mean, if you go to certain parts of the country, they're seeing wage gains where they hadn't seen wage gains for years, maybe even almost a decade at some points. Pretty much all of the data right now seems pretty positive. Recent readings on the manufacturing and services sector were solid. Retail sales were solid in October. And we also saw in November that the economy continued a pretty record-setting streak of months of job gains.
Wall Street Journal economy reporter Sharon Nunn joining us from Washington. Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal.